You know, last time we were speaking of Arjuna's psychology, and we had made distinctions between different kinds of personalities, aesthetic and ethical and rational, and various combinations. And we are trying to see more and more clearly the combination that we obtain in the psychology of Arjuna. And the most important element that we had seen was that he is basically ethical. Now, what is ethical is to be understood much more deeply than we have done so far. We may say that ethical sense begins in a human being when he or she begins to feel that he should not do unto others what he or she does not expect others to do unto oneself. When this sense begins to preponderate, you can say you have now begun to have a true ethical sense. Now, in this sentence which I spoke just now, there are three elements. One is the concept of should. One should not do. So should is a very important word. The second word which is very important is others. And by others is not meant some others, but all the others. One should not do unto others or unto anybody. So there is a sense of all. And third is relationship of all with oneself. So all, oneself and should. These three words are very important in the ethical sense. Now, there is a lower state of consciousness where there is sense of should, but with regard to others, you don't have the same connotation as all. For example, when one wants from all others everything, but one does not want to do the same to the others, one feels that one is so important that everybody should serve him or her. But as far as he or she is concerned, it is up to him or her pleasure. Now, when this consciousness is present, it means that you are not yet ethical. For example, when one seeks one's own pleasure, now there is a concept of ought or should. One should seek one's own pleasure. And one argues, why not? But very often, he does not apply the same sentence with regard to others. Suppose, for example, he said, I should seek my own pleasure. Then I go forward and say, let all seek their own pleasures. In an argument, the other party will say, yes, why not? All should seek their own pleasures. But then if you say, look, my highest pleasure consists in your sacrificing this pleasure, then what happens? All should seek their own pleasures. Fine. I should seek my own highest pleasure. But if somebody else's pleasure lies in your sacrificing some pleasure that you are seeking, then what happens? It is at that point that one feels that my own seeking of pleasure is more important than your seeking your own pleasure. Or you will say, well, you find out your own way of pleasing yourself, why should you put yourself on me? Why should your pleasure depend upon my sacrificing anything? So, in that condition, one feels to make oneself an exception to the rule and say, as far as I am concerned, I should seek my pleasure. If you want me to sacrifice, well, that you must make cancel out that aspect. I allow you to seek your own pleasure and seek your own highest pleasure, but don't impinge your pleasure on me, in which I am obliged to sacrifice something from my seeking of pleasure. Very often human beings, whenever they make some general rules which applies to all, they want to make their own case an exception. Everybody else, all people should be like this, accepting that in my case there should be something which is extra, which is not demanded from others or which I do not want to part with. So here also there is a sense of should, but with regard to all, there is a kind of a limitation, a hesitation, and some kind of a compromise. This is not strictly an ethical sense. It's an, one uses the language of ethics, but it's not strictly ethical. Now Arjuna was an ethical being, and he knew very well that rules are to be applied to all, including himself. And he was living a life in which he was very considerate and very, very perseverant to follow the laws of ethics. That was his constant effort. In order to be sure, he was in the habit of consulting people. Kindly come and sit here, huh? He was constantly consulting people, consulting Dharma Shastras, consulting elders, so that his action is really ethical, really right, really good. Now this aspect has to be realized very well before we understand the crisis of Arjuna. This was very fundamental to him, that there is a law of conduct, law of action, dharma, and that dharma should be all the time observed under all circumstances. And whenever there is a conflict of what one should do, what one should not do, one should refer to dharma and take a decision according to dharma. Now this seeking of dharma, seeking of the law of action, was fundamental in the character of Arjuna. Now usually those who are highly moralistic are also in their psychology practical. Now let us understand this word practical, because there are many meanings of the word practical. Practical is certainly connected with the word practice. So, those who are inclined to practice may be regarded as practical. This is not the usual sense in which people use the word practical normally. Usual meaning of practical is one who succeeds, one who is able to compete very well,
one who is able to see one's own interest in things and adjust his means and ends according to the benefit that one is going to derive. This is the normal sense in which the word practical is used. But the original sense in which practical is used or should be used is one who has tendency, inclination to practice, as opposed to theoretical. A theoretical consciousness is apt to reflect, to arrive at general ideas, general conclusions. And those who dwell all the time in the realm of ideas, generalities, theories, principles, very often there is a kind of a conflict between the theoretical and the practical. Those who are turned to be practical in the real sense of the term, they do not very well fit in an atmosphere where people go on discussing theoretical ideas. What is the general principle, universal ideas, reflections, purely for the sake of search for the truth, for the sake of truth. And those who are theoretical, they begin to dwell in the plane of thought so much that for them to come down to the plane of action, to put into practice, one has to make a very special effort. It is like if the thinker usually finds it climbing down to action. When he is in the field of thought, he feels he is very high and elevated. And when he comes to practicing something, he feels that he is climbing down. So usually there is a conflict between the theoretical and the practical. And many conflicts in the world arise because of the presence of these two elements in any given situation. There are some people who are theoretical, some who are practical. The highest combination is one where both theoretical and practical are so harmonized that one enters into theory and practice at ease.